In your personal brand, there's so many things you can do. There's some things that make a pop more than others. TEDx talks are one of those things where it's a one and done. It's a set it and forget it. And if you do it right, you attract so many opportunities you never would have attracted. And it can be truly life-changing.
Welcome to the Influence by Design podcast. I'm Samantha Riley, authority positioning strategist for coaches and experts. If you're ready to build a business that gives you more than just a caffeine addiction, and you dream of making more money, having more time, and having the freedom to be living your best life, then you're in the right place. It's time to level up.
Welcome to this episode of Influence by Design. I'm your host, Samantha Riley, and very excited because today we're being joined by Ashley Stahl, and she is going to talk about TEDx Talks, but oh man, has she got an awesome story to share about how she got into what she was doing today. So strap yourselves in, and Ashley, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Such a pleasure. Now, you've done multiple TEDx talks.
Yeah.
Tell us how you very first got into TEDx.
You know, I started my career in national security working under Obama administration. And I remember meeting somebody at an awards ceremony. She was this really beautiful woman. And I was just drawn to connecting with her because she just seems so expansive to be around. So we ended up getting to talking, and she said she'd just gotten back from TEDx UN and she'd given a speech. She seemed really young. She was like 21. And I said, wow, I would love to do that someday. And it felt like this really distant dream. And she kind of looked at me like a cartoon character and said, I bet you will really soon. And it's almost like I saw her tooth like cling, you know, just like this moment. And I ended up flying to Turkey that week for an assignment in Istanbul. And there was protest. It was like 2012. There's a lot of protests in Taksim Square. And, you know, working in national security, I was at a hotel and I had tear gas in my eyes. I was caught in a protest and I went to take some cover in the Grand Spice Bazaar. And I got this buzz on my phone and it was her. We had exchanged numbers and she said, I got you a TEDx talk and I'm really excited for you. It was like the nicest thing anyone has ever really done. Like, it was just such a effort she just did for no reason. And I immediately got an email from them saying, do you have a speaking reel? And I just thought, like, what is a speaking reel? So I Googled it and, like, you know, this would be the first speech of my life. Like, I'd never given a speech and I was like 23. So I went into the hotel bathroom, you know, after my work day, I put on the bright white light and I had my iPhone propped against the mirror, just capturing me doing some sort of ad hoc speech that was honestly horrendous. Like, it was really bad. And by some sort of like act of God and miracle, I ended up booking the talk anyway. And I ended up showing up at TEDx Berkeley months and months later. Every night I would go to bed and see like this red dot in my brain on, you know, maybe my dreams or my nightmares. I don't even know. But and I practiced so hard every day. I hired somebody to help me learn how to deliver a speech. Luckily, I'd also asked a couple of Obama speechwriters, can they help me come up with a structure for a TEDx talk? And they were generous enough to say, well, here's how we write for him. Forevermore, I had no idea it would change my life, because now I have a business that we write and book TEDx talks, and I still use that speech writing formula that I learned from his speech writers. So 15 or more years ago, which is really wild, but gave the speech. It went viral. I went on to have an e-learning business and becoming a career coach. I left national security, left my work at the Pentagon, started coaching millennials in the recession on how to get a job because I was a really good job seeker. I created an online course that scaled. We did $6 million of revenue in 2 months off of a webinar. I learned how to write a webinar after a year of failure, really, and spending a lot of money trying to figure it out. And then I held on too long. The algorithm on Facebook changed. My ads weren't converting. And I kept my employees. I wanted to keep them afloat. And that was kind of the beginning of me going through a dark night of the soul, like not having the business that was so successful, not having the team I built, and just being really burnt out. I spent 4 years, I ended up with debt, And I remember thinking about this TEDx talk I gave, thinking like, I want to redeem myself with myself. Like, I know I could do better than what this talk was. And so I went ahead and I pitched myself for another TEDx talk. I booked it, got on stage, and that talk did so well. Now it's 80th on the internet. And it changed my life in so many ways. It got me a speaking agent. He put me on tour. I tripled my keynote fees, 10K to 30K per speech. I got a spokesperson deal for SoFi for 5 years. I was their national spokesperson, 4 or 5 years. I think 4 years, maybe. And it just was like, what I learned from it was, in your personal brand, there's so many things you can do. And there's some things that make a pop more than others, right? And TEDx talks are one of those things where it's a one and done. It's a set it and forget it. And if you do it right, you put the masculine energy out into execution, you get this feminine energy back of attracting things. Because if you go viral, which I'm learning is just as much of an art as it is a science, you attract so many opportunities you never would have attracted. And it can be truly life-changing for your career, because what you're basically doing is letting people, everyday people, think of things that you may never have thought about for you and approach you on a day-to-day basis. The amount of people I hear from that see my TEDx talk is through the roof. And the amount of opportunities that have come to me that I never would have thought would is incredible. So that has been the thing that got me to start my company now. It's called Wise Whisper. And we write and book TEDx talks, everything from the speechwriters writing it. We do it in 4 Zoom calls. So clients come in and over 4 wow. Zooms, we write their talk, hand it off to our booker. We get them booked. We make their slides. We make their bio. We make their title suggestions of what's going to go the most viral. And off they go.
Wow. How, obviously we're here, we're talking to, you know, coaches and healers. How important is the topic of the TEDx talk to directly into what they're teaching? Because sometimes I can see a correlation and sometimes I can't.
That's a great question. You know, I think it doesn't help you if you go so far away from what you teach or you don't identify yourself as the teacher of something. TEDx is very sensitive to promotion. So you really at most can say, as a consultant for women who face fertility challenges, or as a, you know, whatever, you can say one little promotional thing at most, and it has to make sense. So I think there's value in that. But if you give a talk about fishing and you're an energy healer, you're probably losing an opportunity.
Yeah.
That being said, we have a third of our clients are New York Times bestselling doctors, mental health practitioners, all sorts of different things like that in the medical space, stem cell researchers, longevity experts. The other third of my clients are like, you know, corporate people that have a message. But the doctors are a good case study for this, because for them to write a book about their work, they tend to be pioneers, right? Like, they are leading the path on some sort of research they've uncovered. But if you are a pioneer, what you're doing is not seen as widely accepted because it's new. Mm-hmm. And when something's new, the TED channel sees itself as responsible for not spreading pseudoscience, right? Like, And so it's this fine line of being an incredibly innovative platform that is educating the masses and being kind of a limited platform that has boundaries around promoting things that are not widely accepted. So what we will do with a doctor of that sort is we'll look at their body of new work and we might revert back to, what is something incredibly innovative you have to say in the other body of work you've been doing that's more widely accepted? And then we'll trust the viewer to go find their work, you know, elsewhere. A second thing to be aware of is, beneath your TEDx video is a bio about you. And the first 80 words are pretty much what gets seen. And then it says, read more. Nobody clicks read more. Uh-huh. So the first 80 words really matter in the peripheral vision of the viewer, because you want them to know who you are and what you're doing. So that's just a couple of starting thoughts that I would have for anybody considering this.
I like that. So it's really, for most people, it's the stepping stone to what they do, or the introduction to what they do, but not necessarily talking about the crux of what their business is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can, right? Like, I think it is effective if you're a coach and you have a coaching certification on how to be a better salesperson. It would probably be good to do a talk about sales or mindset for success or something that is on the periphery of the kind of client you want, if not direct. But yeah, there have been reasons some clients have come in and they've been surprised where I'm like, I want you to go viral and you can't talk about this if you want that. Because about a third of the talks we're writing right now are going viral. And a lot of that has to do with not just the topic, but how we write it and feeling confident that the TEDx channel is not going to ban our client, which has never happened to us, but we pay attention to that.
Well, yeah. Now, I watched a couple of your TEDx talks, but the one that really got me was the one where you talk about the phone call that your father got one day. The storytelling in that was exquisite. Congratulations. Because man, was I in there, like, oh gosh, I watched that a few weeks ago. And even now I can feel myself choking up listening to that. That story has got nothing to do, let's say, with your business, even though it does, because it's all about the storytelling. Right. At that time, what was it that made you or inspired you to create that TEDx talk? And how did it relate to other things that you were doing on the side?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, there's two things that make a TEDx tend to go viral, in my opinion. The first is the title, right? So there's two types of titles that we do. The first type is the open loop, like the secret to why marriages fail. That's an open loop, right? What is the secret? The second type of title is straightforward. So my talk that you're referencing is called How to Figure Out What You Really Want. That's very straightforward. Like, there's no mystery in the title. That's kind of how I think about titles. And we do a lot of research when we finally nail a title for a client. But another piece of virality is the opener, which is what you're referencing, my story about my dad. And for anybody listening who hasn't seen that talk, it's about my dad getting a phone call that someone kidnapped me. And what's interesting about that TEDx talk that I learned is that your opener doesn't have to have anything to do with the rest of the talk. It's a good speechwriter's job to weave the opener into the rest of the talk. So I think the question for people is like, how do we engage people? How do we get people excited to listen to us from the onset, right? And I think that has to do a lot with the opener. So yeah, I would advise anybody who's listening to this, if you want to do a TEDx talk, I know what I'm doing at Wise Whisper is like a high-end service. I think anybody can write and book a TEDx talk. Not everybody's meant to give one. I feel like you do need to have real content, really real things to say that you believe in. You don't want to be fully recycling what people say. And if you are recycling something, you want to have a different take on the thing you're talking about, right? Like, I was just on another podcast the other day and I was giving an example of this. I was talking about how people talk about getting out of your comfort zone. And a lot of people, if they don't have a lot of content and mindset, they might say that's a tip, right? Get out of your comfort zone. And a lot of people think that getting out of your comfort zone means doing something different. I need to go ask that guy out or girl out or whatever somebody's thinking at their grocery store. I need to go pitch myself for that big business opportunity. Like, I'm getting out of my comfort zone. But that is pretty standard advice, right? What's different is if you have a new take on it. So for example, my take about comfort zone is that most people talk about what you need to go do, but not enough people talk about what you're going to have to face. And when I think about being an entrepreneur and getting out of my comfort zone, the things that have gotten me out of my comfort zone have nothing to do with the things I've had to go do. There's plenty of things that are hard that I've done, but a lot of it's been the things I have to face that I'm not doing, things that come my way that I don't know what to do, right? Like, when you play big enough as an entrepreneur, you might attract like really tough employees that you have to fire. You might attract lawsuits. Like, the amount of friends I have who have a lot of success, have a lot of integrity, they just naturally attract lawsuits because that's what happens when you play big. I wish that wasn't the case, but these are the things I didn't know we have to face, right? And so that's a different and original take on comfort zone, right? Mm-hmm, that's content. Mm-hmm. And so my advice for somebody is if you have a soundbite, make sure you have your own perspective on it that you can share. So if I did a talk on tips to break past your next level, I wanted to talk about comfort zone. I just kind of gave an example of how I look at it differently and how I would talk about it. So I think it's important anybody who's giving a talk, they kind of be mindful. Like, if what you're saying, and again, you don't need to have something new to say, but you have to have your way of saying it, right? Like, I have online courses about how to start a podcast, how to get clarity in your career, how to get a job offer. And I talk about salary negotiation, but maybe a lot of those tips, like those are things I've done for me, they work, but maybe, and maybe you've heard it before, right? But what makes me different is the way I deliver the content, right? Like I've read 20 yeah. books about negotiation. I can bring in different people. Like this person's going to take this thought about negotiation. This person's going to take this. Here's what I think based on what they're thinking. So part of content is taking what everybody's saying and giving your take on it. Another thing is like the way you deliver the information, right? Like I talk to my students, like negotiate salary like you're ordering a sandwich at Subway. Like, do you want pickles or onions? Like neutral, right? That's my own content. So I think it's important for people to find their original self, and that can be through curating information. It doesn't have to be through having your own take.
So you just mentioned in there that not everyone should have a TEDx talk.
Yeah.
Who should and who shouldn't? Like what's the criteria here to work through in our own head before we even go down the path of, all right, I'm going to consider doing this?
Yeah. Yeah. I think the first thing is you have to, one thing I love about TEDx, it's not for famous people with followers. It's a democracy. And I think that's an amazing thing about the platform. And my company, we really try to be a company that I think at its worst, personal branding is delusional. It's like the Tinder swindler. It's like, how did they get all these followers? Like, what are they even putting out? And it can be really exhausting for people to watch that being what this is, right? We, as a company, are wanting to be a house for people who are doing the real work. They're not taking shortcuts in their work, but we are a shortcut in their brand, right? Like in 4 Zoom calls, we've got a TEDx written and booked for you. But mm-hmm. I think... a lot of people need to ask themselves when they think about the biggest question I ask clients that I can impart here is, what do you know? What do you really have down? What do you get about your work that you want the rest of the world to really get? That's the overarching question, right? What do you really mm-hmm. get that you need the world to get? And how would the world be different if they got it, right? And so I think that's the first thought for a TEDx talk. I think the people who, there's no such thing as being qualified, right? Like one of our clients is an activist in veterinary school, but she's really passionate about dogs and animal rights. And she's not an expert. She's a student, but she's got a message and she's worked with dogs and she works with rescues for fun and as a volunteer. And so I think the most important thing is probably continuity. Like you don't want to give a TEDx talk about being an energy healer if you're a project manager at a tech company. Like mm-hmm. if you don't have a brand built, you at least need to have continuity on the internet. So that means your LinkedIn profile even needs to make sense of it for the curators. Mm-hmm. That's my first thought on it.
Yeah, I love that. All right. Once you've been through that process and you're like, yep, okay, I've got it. How do you even discover that idea? I mean, you spoke a little bit on it there, but and I guess this is such a personal question because this is something that I've always struggled with myself, that there's so many people in my world that have done TEDx or that want to do TEDx. And I'm like, yeah, I would like to do that too. But oh my goodness, I wouldn't even know where to start to discover my idea.
Right.
How you're saying you do it in 4 Zoom calls. For those of us that need some sort of idea before that Zoom call, like what would you recommend?
Getting started just to like start writing the talk. Yeah, I would say like really thinking about your opener. There's three types of openers, right? Like there's the storytelling one, which is what I did in the How to Figure Out What You Really Want talk. Mm-hmm. There's the conversational one, which is more like we have a client right now. She's 50, single, no kids. She gets on stage and she says, I'm 50, I'm single, and I have no kids. What do you think about me? And it's a talk about being judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts with a conversation, right? And then there's a combo, right? Like you start with a question, you're a little conversational, you back into a story. I think what goes most viral is storytelling, like what I did in my How to Figure Out What You Really Want talk. Mm-hmm. So I would advise people to think like, what is one of the most potent moments of their life that they can bring people into? And I would start there.
I like that. And I like the way that you mentioned before that you could, there's always a way to tie it together. It's just being a little bit creative and figuring that out, right?
Yeah.
How much of being booked for a TEDx is about getting that talk, right? And how much of it is the preparation once that talk is actually written?
I think it's 50-50. It's like the writing has to be exact. We've been telling clients, like, what's the point of writing 19 minutes when as a script when you can do 10 or 12? It's just less to memorize, equal value. A 12-minute talk is 3 to 4 pages. It's not that much to memorize. So I would say write your script and be exact with your words. Be reflective, be intentional, memorize it. And then it's just as much delivery as it's what you're saying. Because people need to remember, you know, in Harry Potter, he talks about the people like they're muggles, right? He says muggles. It's a 5th grade reading level, right? Like TEDx is, everybody's watching those. So you need to write for the masses. And that means at a 5th grade reading level. So if you're introducing any advanced concepts, you have to be pretty intentional about making sure that you're not blowing past somebody's, I don't know, like intellectual level, just based on what is present in this world that we're in.
What else would you like to leave the listeners with today that are considering doing a TEDx talk, that for anything from logistics to the creative to delivery?
Mm-hmm. We have our booker booking the talk, so I don't know enough about what she's doing. She's just partnered with us. But as far as the writing goes, I would say what makes you relevant, like relevance is resonance. So the deepest thing to do is really ask yourself, am I moved by what I'm saying? Do I feel deeply what I'm saying? Not just did I say it nicely, but how do I feel when I read it? Going viral is not easy, but it is simple. Like simply write the best thing you've ever written.
I love that. Ashley, where can people find out more about you?
Everything about what we're doing with TEDx is at ashleystahl.com/TEDx. We're rebranding. I started the business just a little bit ago, and we have so many talks we're writing that I haven't gotten around to it. So that's like the best place to kind of see what we're up to. If anyone applies to work with us within a month of this episode airing, please say that you come from Samantha so that I can give you $1,000 off. And yeah, my book, I have a book called U-Turn, all about getting connected to yourself, which I think really plays a role in my work with TEDx now, much more than I realize. That's everywhere books are sold. I'm on Instagram. And yeah, it's been an honor to be here with you. You ask really good questions.
Oh, thank you. I love to speak with interesting people, and I feel very grateful that I'm in a position where I can do that. So selfishly, I love the fact that I get here to speak with people like you and to hear a little bit about what goes on in your mind and what you're doing in the world. So thank you for coming onto the show and sharing that.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Thanks for joining me for this episode of the Influence by Design podcast. If you want more, head over to influencebydesignpodcast.com for the show notes and links to today's gifts and sponsors. And if you're looking to connect with other experts who are growing and scaling their business too, join us in the Coaches, Thought Leaders and Changemakers community on Facebook. The links are waiting for you over at influencebydesignpodcast.com.